All right, in case you're just joining us for hour number two, hour number one was beyond feisty. Listen, everybody's got a right to think however they want to think. You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with it. But I would say this, and maybe for good reason, you're probably not going to find that hour anywhere else. So it's you got to turn on your microphone.
I don't. It's never on half the time anyway. Yeah. So
it's only turned off when you do something against the rules.
When I do something against the rules, whatever stupid rules that you all don't stick with and aren't consistent.
There are a lot of unwritten rules around here.
Unwritten rules, yeah. Maybe because you all can't write.
Always that it.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. I mean,
the way that you treat me on this show, I'm not about to have it too much longer. I'm honestly telling you, I'm not.
Really?
The way that you.
Where are you going to go?
Where am I going to go?
You go hang out with B Mitch? I'm just wondering.
Because I'm a professional, I'm not going to respond to what you just said.
Uh-huh. So here's where we're at. You wanted to issue an apology, and you have already issued an apology on DC News Now to Marcus Mariota.
Unlike you.
Right, to Marcus Mariota, because you thought he was a terrible fit as the backup quarterback here. And now, after the way he played on Sunday against the Carolina Panthers, you are now back on the gravy train, back aboard.
It's not even that I'm back on the Marcus Mariota bandwagon. It's not even that I'm back on the gravy train. Mm-hmm. I just realized that maybe what I said was a little hyperbolic. Maybe I was exaggerating my feelings.
Mm-hmm. Which
am
is
I on the gravy train all of a sudden?
Meaning, I don't know.
I believe in him as the backup, and I think we can win games with him. Here's the thing. We may be able to win games with him as the backup, but it has nothing to do with him. This is probably the most quarterback-friendly scheme right now in the National Football League.
So you don't believe in Marcus Mariota,
no.
Or do you believe in Marcus Mariota?
Do I believe in him? Believe in him as what?
Believe that he can carry the offense.
No, might be very specific in what you're asking me.
Believe
I want
that
to give
they
a real
can
answer.
Win games against good teams with Marcus Mariota on a consistent basis. Nobody's going to win every game. Do you believe that he can help stem whatever this period of time is?
No.
Whether it's one game, two games, three games, we don't know. Against good defenses.
I doubt it. I have major doubts about that.
But is that because of Marcus Mariota, the quarterback, or Marcus Mariota, the teammate, or Marcus Mariota, the person?
You keep getting in the Marcus Mariota, the teammate.
Well,
Marcus Mariota, the teammate, clearly is proven to be a different person, correct?
Okay.
I'm
asking for clarification.
Marcus Mariota, the quarterback, I have reservations about. Oh. Yeah, I do.
What are your reservations? So tell me your reservations.
He doesn't get the ball out on time.
Okay.
He plays with reckless abandon.
Okay.
And I don't think he's very accurate. He's not good. We watched his ass all summer be the third worst quarterback on this roster. I'm going to be real. This is my bigger issue. And you can say maybe it's semantics or whatever. Has he earned the right to be the backup quarterback? He got hurt and was on the shelf, got outplayed by Jeff Driskel significantly during the preseason. And when he comes back, they hand him the job. He should. I didn't. And not like I'm gonna cry over. Not like it's something that causes me great displeasure. I'm just pointing out what it is. You don't think
you
that
said
in practice,
he got outplayed in the preseason?
And,
you mean
in practice,
you mean in camp
and in practice?
Well, he didn't play in the preseason.
You're right. So you're just talking about
the first 2 weeks of training camp, right?
Yes, but significantly better.
Right, as the sample size. That just to be clear.
Did he play in the preseason?
He didn't play in the Driskel did, but Mariota didn't.
Right. So an injured man deserves to keep his job.
An injured man with the years of experience that Marcus Mariota has
and the money.
What
the hell is experience? That's the problem with corporate America. We're so damn worried about experience. You know where I'm going with that.
I knew where we were heading with this. The youngest in charge persecuted again.
We're so worried about experience. Experience doesn't mean you're better, Chris. That's a very clear example.
No, nobody said that experience always means that you're better. But you know what experience does for you?
Oh, God, here we go.
It prevents you from being a dum-dum.
Chris,
okay?
But do you get the point that I'm making?
From making selfish, entitled decisions. Now, you think Marcus Mariota made a selfish, entitled decision back in 2021, right? Was it 2021?
The bottom line is, do you get what I'm saying? I don't want to say I took issue, but like, it made me scratch my head a little bit. For a group that's all about preaching competition, mm-hmm. competition.
So when Mariota
came
off of,
able to compete, right?
When he came off of the injured list and then played in that Cleveland game, which was the first game he was back for, he played the final 12 minutes. He was the backup quarterback, not the third quarterback.
And when they named him the backup then, right. I said, huh? Why is he the backup? What has he done to earn the backup job to this point?
So I guess what I would ask is this, and maybe it's not an exact corollary, but if Tress Way gets injured this week and is out for 6 weeks, when he returns,
so God has clearly been established and entrenched as your starter. That's different, Chris. What the hell has Marcus done in Washington? Nothing.
In Washington, none, because this regime just got here. They signed him immediately.
Chris, he got hurt.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have just been given the backup quarterback job back. It'd be different if Jeff Driskel completely threw up all over himself.
Mm-hmm.
He played well. And in camp, it was pretty obvious he was better than Marcus.
Do you know how Jeff Driskel practiced as the backup quarterback to Jaden Daniels for the first 4 weeks of the season and after they shut us out of training camp?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. So they do. They have that information. Maybe he was terrible. Maybe.
Come on, Chris.
If you want to have a competition for the third-string quarterback, then we can do that, but they don't have time for that.
Doo-doo. Marcus Mariota was dog doo-doo during camp. It bottom line. And whatever way you want to slice it, he wasn't good. He wasn't good the first two drives he came in off the bench. He was terrible. Missed wide-open receivers. Did he not?
Yes, he did.
And then he got himself together.
Yes, he did, which is what a veteran does.
It's what anybody would do.
No, it's not what anybody
would do. In life, when you enter a contest, a sporting event, raw, not warmed up, mm-hmm. you struggle to start.
Oh.
So I'm not killing him for struggling to start, but it is what it happened.
Right, but not it everybody happened. Gets back on the bike. Not everybody gets the oil running through the engine, right? And Marcus Mariota was able to do that.
To answer your original question, I don't know how much faith or confidence I have in him as the starter against teams. I don't.
Is that against bad teams? Is that against good teams?
Anybody.
Is that against this team?
That's against anybody.
Okay. So
I'm not a believer in Marcus Mariota.
Let me just bring everybody back.
I don't think he's one of the best, 64 quarterbacks in America. I don't.
Okay.
That's a hard not to be that. So you get where I'm, yeah. That was a little math. 32 plus 32 is 64.
So you think there are 64 better NFL quarterbacks than Marcus Mariota?
No, I don't think he's one of them.
I mean, you want to bring Colin Kaepernick back into the fold?
Do you want to really go down that rabbit hole?
I'm just asking.
You want to talk about being unfairly treated?
I'm just asking.
No, I'm asking. You don't want to ask.
I'm asking.
I don't think you want to go down that rabbit hole. Because that's the reason I consider myself an addict of the NFL in the first place. Because clearly my moral beliefs don't align with the leagues.
What
yet I still watch and support, right?
You just made a statement that Marcus Mariota is not one of the best top 64. Right?
I don't feel that. I have a
So that would mean, presumably,
that there are 64 backups better than him.
Yeah.
Or 64 quarterbacks better than him.
Or 64 quarterbacks.
I guarantee you can find 64 quarterbacks better than him.
Presumably, if what you're telling me, I'm just
you're about to go
asking
to bat for Marcus Mariota. I think that's hilarious.
No, I'm just asking to be clear, just for the record. So you're telling me if Jeff Driskel and Marcus Mariota battled for the backup position, there is no question in your mind
I think Jeff Driskel would win. I think Jeff may
based
win.
On,
but here's the thing
based
about,
on the 2 weeks that you observed in early August at training camp, right? That's based on?
This was also watching him throughout mandatory minicamp. This was also watching him in OTAs.
When they were running around in shorts.
When he wouldn't throw the damn football.
When they were running around
when
in shorts.
When he wouldn't throw the football.
When they were running
Did
around in shorts.
Did I not come in here every day and tell you what the major difference was
when they
between
were running,
Marcus
when they were
and
running
Jaden?
Around in shorts.
That has nothing to do with it, Chris. Get the damn football out of your hand.
No, when you actually play football,
no, Chris,
things change.
Was he not doing it on Sunday? Was he not holding the football long on Sunday? It just so happens that he's playing behind one of the best damn five offensive lines in the NFL right now.
Which is the reason why Marcus Mariota is a backup quarterback. Which is exactly the reason why Marcus Mariota should not be trusted to be the long-term starter.
Or your backup.
I agree. I agree with the starter notion. I do not in any way, shape, or form agree with the notion or the assertion that he is not one of the best 64, meaning he should not be the backup quarterback.
And let me tell you this, by the way, since you all feel like you have it all figured out about how Marcus Mariota got here.
And next thing you're
going
to tell me, Sam Hartman, because he was better on a Wednesday in early August.
Brother, you know Marcus Mariota wasn't their first choice for the backup, right? You know who their first choice was, right?
Yeah.
Sam Darnold.
Reportedly,
Sam Darnold. Okay, then. Right. So this idea that, like, they're so head over heels in love with him is a joke.
I didn't say that.
From what I said from day one is why the hell he's here. Brian Johnson. Correct? They wanted
logically,
Sam Darnold, Chris.
Logically, so you would think Brian Johnson had a lot to do with it. I don't know if we ever got 100% clarity on that. But logically, you would think that.
My point is.
On top of experience and fit in the scheme and
Clearly, the scheme fit wasn't a big deal because Sam Darnold's not an ideal fit for the scheme.
Oh, so because they pursued Sam Darnold. He chose to go somewhere else.
That was their number one choice.
It's not possible that they then said, hey, you know what? Marcus Mariota, we know him. He's a scheme fit. He's going to cost $5 million less than Sam Darnold. Why don't we go and get him? So because Sam Darnold wasn't a scheme.
They were able to get Marcus because no one else wanted him.
Because Sam Darnold wasn't a pure scheme fit or wasn't a similar scheme fit than Jaden Daniels, who they didn't even know they were going to get when they made this decision. They didn't even know who they were going to get.
Are you serious, Chris?
They didn't. They didn't know for sure.
They didn't know for sure, but they had a strong damn hunch as to who they was going to get.
Sure.
So.
And maybe that played into it as well. But they didn't know for sure.
Correct.
Who they were going
to
get.
I didn't expect to spend this much time on Marcus Mariota, but I agree.
Well, he's the starting quarterback for this week.
We had
That's
to.
That's why we're spending
time on
it.
I'm not questioning it. I'm saying I didn't expect to spend that much time on it. Not in a negative way. Clearly, we had both had things to say, correct? I'm not Doc. Don't try to act like I'm just here trying to dunk on everything that you try to bring to the table. That's not at all how I do the damn job. That's why I'm the most easy to work with person in this building. I seamlessly can work with anybody. Can I not?
Let's go.
I just thought it would be mature of me because I'm a man first when I do this job to come out and publicly admit when I'm wrong. I was wrong. So that's what I'm going to do, because I'm a man.
You were wrong for saying that Marcus Mariota was a bad teammate and therefore a bad
No,
fit
that's
here.
The information that we were given, Chris. Uh-huh. What are you talking about?
Okay. I'm
not making that up. That's what the hell happened. I watched it play out in real time.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your point with that? You act like I am so out of bounds and so off base for those comments. And I'm not. And that's not what I apologized for.
You realize that everyone else besides you that has been around Marcus Mariota thinks that he's a hell of a person, a hell of a teammate, hell of a mentor, hell of a leader, right? You realize that, right? You realize that Brian Johnson...
So it's just me? Brian Johnson was with him for a cup of tea, Chris.
He was with him...
For a cup of tea, Chris.
How many days have you been with Marcus
Chris,
Mariota?
Chris, like, that's not the damn point. That's not the point at all.
It is, actually. It is.
So if that's the case, then we shouldn't believe anything that you hear about any player.
No,
right?
No, we
shouldn't. That's what you're saying, right?
We shouldn't rush to judgment based on something that was reported in Bleacher Report.
Are you kidding? Oh, you didn't rush to judgment with Chase Young? You didn't rush to judgment with Chase Young? Huh? You didn't rush to judgment?
I had plenty with Chase Young? I had plenty of evidence on Chase Young.
Get out of here, man.
I had plenty of evidence on Chase Young.
We got to go. Is it time to go? You're driving me insane. Because you have this double standard. You say I'm quick to rush to judgment. That's the pot calling the kettle black. You do it consistently, Chris.
I do?
Yes. I gave you you did it with Chase Young. All of you did it with Chase Young.
Really?
All of you rushed to judgment.
Really?
With Chase Young.
We did.
Yes. Yes, you did.
What specific example, how did we rush to judgment with Chase Young?
By attacking his character. By saying that he stinks, by saying that he's a bad teammate, by saying that he cares about himself more than the organization, by... Do I need to keep going?
So everybody said that. Directly.
I'm talking about you. Damn what everybody else said. Now I'm talking about you.
Me.
Yeah, you said that.
Me. I said he was a bad person and a bad teammate.
We have 3 minutes, so we got to go to break. Let's take some calls. You're sending me into a different dimension.
Let's
Can I once again recite what I said about Mark? Because you're like making it seem as if
now we're gonna have to move on.
Ludicrous pills.
Now we're gonna have to move on.
Jalen Hurts and the Eagles went through one of the most epic collapses in recent history down the stretch last year. Jalen Hurts clearly was hurt with a lower body injury.
And Dr. Linnell Willingham has decided that.
The Eagles thought it was a better idea to risk their $200 million investment than play the damn backup.
Right, Dr. Linnell Willingham has determined that Marcus Mariota was awful.
But that says nothing about the backup, right?
Was awful, and that's how we're going to approach it. Okay, got it. Gotcha. I understand. Let's get to Ray and Frederick here on the Team 980. Ray, thanks for hanging in there. How are you?
Incredible.
Hi, the Windbag Wednesday is going crazy. Thank you for being so entertaining.
It went off the rails a long time ago. Yes, correct.
So the thing I just want to say real quick is loose lips sink ships. I mean, that's basically it. And that's – I know that's you as a host of a radio show want to get more information. But at the same time, Dan Quinn could care less what to give you to anybody.
Can you say that again? Yep. I don't think he heard you.
Yeah.
Dan Quinn I heard you. Can give a rat's ass about what Chris Russell needs.
Yeah, I heard you. Yep. And I'm not saying he should. He shouldn't worry one bit about me. But that doesn't mean we just move on and ignore it and act like it doesn't exist and act like there's not possibly something there.
Can we meet in the middle? I don't want to hear you complaining about what the coach didn't say to the media.
Okay. Well, you don't have to hear it. The door's right there.
And this is why this team is doing so good this year, because of things like this. They're not going to care about such little things.
That's fine.
A radio host said this.
Yeah, that's fine, Ray. I agree.
I'd rather have this.
I agree.
And you guys bantering and Windbag Wednesday, but...
We're Windbag Wednesday.
It's a verb, yeah. Windbag Wednesday is a verb.
That's good. I like that.
That's all I wanted to say.
All right, thank you, Ray. Appreciate you. Listen, let me be clear, okay, while you're backtracking and apologizing.
I'm not
saying Dan Quinn's doing anything wrong. What I am saying is we still do not know the exact nature of the injury. We still do not know the exact nature of where Jaden is at. We know one thing, that it's a rib injury. That's the only thing the team has said on the record publicly. That's it. But rib injury could be a number of things. So my point being...
Hey, Chris.
If we just have this philosophy, this, I'll call it a Neanderthal-like policy of, hey, there's nothing to see here. Until he's 110%, we shouldn't have any questions, we shouldn't have any concerns, we shouldn't have any worries, and we shouldn't even think of him practicing or returning to practice, never mind playing. I'm somewhere... stuck in a different stratosphere than that.
You're on your own planet.
I don't think I'm being unreasonable.
It's incredible.
I don't think I was dropped off by a UFO.
I think you were.
I don't. So, you know, that's where we're at.
But no,
philosophically, you're different than me.
The more important thing that I would continue to say, is one, what I said at the start. I'm not playing him. And someone tweeted at me and said, well, if he's, no one's ever 100% all year. I don't care about that. You all are trying to get into the semantics of it. Bottom line is, if there's discomfort with his ribs,
that's
you
semantics.
Shouldn't play.
Semantics is, I mean, we're going to have Nick Allegretti on in 15 minutes.
We are.
We're going to ask Nick Allegretti what percentage
his teammate,
his body is at.
Chris, an offensive lineman, a guard, and a quarterback are two different positions.
I understand
that. I look at their injury situations different.
I understand.
If Nick Allegretti's got a rib injury, the nature of his position says, hey, go play. The importance of him to the franchise says, hey, go play. I'm not playing tiddlywinks with the most important piece in the franchise, Chris. If he's not healthy, don't play.
Yeah, if your overall point is...
That's it.
If your overall point is, if he's... if he's not healthy, then don't play him.
That is my number one point.
Your standard of him being 110% is...
I'm talking about with the ribs. If there's any discomfort with the ribs, I'm saying don't play him. That is something that is going to heal to where there's no discomfort. Now, here's the negative of playing him with discomfort. This is now a week-to-week thing. If he gets hit there again, who knows if it becomes month-to-month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying limit the amount of time that he's going to have to miss by not playing him until he's completely healthy. Is that registering with you?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
But what you're asking for is, and here's my point, is somewhat unrealistic.
No,
if
it's
not completely,
Chris.
Realistic.
It's not unrealistic,
yeah.
Chris.
Yeah.
No, it's
because
not.
I've cited to you that you could sit him on the bench for 2 weeks, right? And say, hey, man, heal up. Don't do anything. Don't practice.
But then that's
don't
you.
Twerk, don't whatever.
No, this is you speculating
then,
what you think you know about the situation because you're a Dr.
And
Russell.
And again, re-injure himself.
You
have no idea.
Dr. Russell, I understand.
301-230-0980. Nick Allegretti, Commander's starting left guard and multi-time Super Bowl champion, expected to join us in about 15 minutes, maybe less, here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, Nick Allegretti coming up from the Washington Commanders. Practice wrapping up in Ashburn as they get set for the Chicago Bears. We've been all over the Jaden Daniels situation in a different spin than you're going to hear probably anywhere else, and that might be a good thing. And as well, the Marcus Mariota arrival, trust factor, and moving forward. Clearly, we have very different spins on that. I wanted to get Paulie because I just looked at Twitter for the first time because, you know, I'm actually doing the radio show, and I don't study Twitter during every segment of the show. And Paulie is just screaming at everybody and saying that we're on steroids and that we've lost our minds.
So let Paulie bully his way onto the show?
No, I made him wait. I made him wait 58 minutes. It's the longest on hold. So I wanted to give Paulie a chance.
I just want to make sure you're not being unfair.
Here before we get to Nick Allegretti. So go ahead, Paulie.
You mean an hour and 12 minutes, brother. Get it right.
Hey, my clock said 58 minutes, but maybe it was longer than that.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't tell you to call it 1:15 either.
Hey, anyways, man, both of y'all ought to be ashamed of yourselves, man. Like, this has been the most bunch of BS I've heard out of you two in a very long time.
Really?
Y'all been doing a good job. Really, man. Who do you want me to start with? Russell Lundell. Let's start with you. Let's start with you, other guy, Russell.
Okay.
All right, listen, man. See, this is why we be pissed off at you, man.
Yeah.
Because you proclaim to be the smartest guy on sports radio when you want to be. And then you just play dumb. Like, just to start things, man. Because Lundell is right on his sense. You know, he read you the report of the injury and what they told you after the game. All right, it's not a break, blah, blah. And then you say, well, why did he take him to the hospital? Why wouldn't they take him to the hospital for further evaluation?
Did I ever mention the hospital?
Yeah, no.
No, I didn't.
You did.
No.
You said they took him to the hospital to get him a further evaluation.
I didn't. I said they gave him x-rays at FedEx Field at Northwest Stadium in the first half. And then they had more testing on Monday. I never said once anything about the hospital.
They have better equipment.
At the hospital in the stadium, right?
Better equipment at the hospital. Number one. All right, number two, if you sat there and watched the game, if you watched the game and watched when he got hurt, right, the trainers were sitting there rubbing the hell out of his side like Tiana Trump would be on TV. I don't know who Tiana Trump is. He's rubbing the hell out of his side like Tiana Trump. If he had a broken rib or a hairline fracture, he wouldn't let anybody touch him. So we could count that out right there. We know what it is. It's some type of strain, some type of something in that.
And it was non-contact. It was awkward because his body got contorted.
Listen, so when you come up here and say, well, we don't know, and you keep saying break and bruise and crack, like, come on, man. You're poking a bear on it, and you know you are. It's back to your little thing. I'm not trying to be a jerk. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Because in one sense, you want to claim us that you use your common sense and you're the smartest guy on radio, and then in another sense, you want to play dumb. Like, you ain't sit there and see everything else that everybody else has seen. Lundell, don't laugh, bro. Don't laugh.
Walk it out.
Don't laugh. You next, man. You next. You next. This whole Mariota thing, that's the worst apology I ever heard in my life. You apologize about saying he's trash and then go in for 30 minutes about how the Eagles didn't play him because they knew he was trash instead of investing in two, protecting him. Come on, man. The whole thing. Yo, Hurts was never on an injury report. Never.
Huh?
He never got knocked out of a game. All right, they never carried him off the field, right? And then you contradict yourself by saying, well, that had an injury. It was up to me. Exactly. It was up to Hurts. He wanted to play. Why would you not let your starter play who took you to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, protect yourself from yourself.
He could play. Listen, if he set protected himself up, if evidently it wasn't an injury that they felt like, okay, if something happens, he's going to be out for the rest of the season. It was a pain management situation. And that's exactly what Jaden is going to have to deal with, is a pain management situation.
Okay.
Can he deal with the pain to be able to throw the ball and be effective enough?
Right.
Look, me and you like to go everything off your quarterback show on Netflix. Remember, one of the biggest part of that quarterback show was quarterbacks being tough.
For
and
sure.
All right. Russell's boy, Kirk, played with a damn near broken rib for the whole season. And Deron Payne didn't help him by trying to blow it up.
All right.
But he still.
Thank you, Paulie. I gotta jump in. I gotta jump in. Enough.
I'll let you have your time. I hear what Paulie is saying about the toughness aspect. It's not about his toughness to me, though. It's about, I don't want it to be something that lingers. That's why I'm saying
that.
Wait until it's
100%
healed.
I understand that.
Was he not going to run anymore?
I do understand that.
No, he's going to. He can fall awkwardly again. So I'm saying let it heal 100% before you put him back out. That's it.
We will get back to more calls coming up at some point. Just hang tight. Nick Allegretti expected to give us a call here in just a couple moments. Stay tight on that, or stay tuned, rather, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, good to have you with us on a Windbag Wednesday, and there has been a lot of windbaggery. That's for darn sure right here over the last hour and a half. We're awaiting a phone call from Nick Allegretti, three-time Super Bowl champion, starting left guard of the Washington Commanders, as they are done with practice for the day. Again, the big news from earlier today, again, should have been kind of expected, at least the way I is that Jaden Daniels did not practice today. Maybe he would have been limited in some capacity or just out there for show during individuals or something like that. But apparently he wasn't even that. I don't know if he was actually on the sideline or not. We're not there, of course, and we're just kind of dealing with reports. So the bottom line is Dan Quinn said he would not practice today. Now, Dan Quinn did not say he wouldn't practice tomorrow. We know he's been labeled as week to week, and then that spurred a conversation about belief in Marcus Mariota. I don't believe in Marcus Mariota long term. I believe in Marcus Mariota short term. I don't believe in him long term, because when you have as many ups and downs as Marcus Mariota has had in his career, it stands to reason that the longer the display, the longer you ask him to play, the more those bumps and bruises and blemishes are going to show up. The good news is, if there is good news, even though we lack clarity on exactly what is wrong with Jaden Daniels, they said they hope he can play this week and that it is not a long-term issue. They were clear about that. That being said, we don't know if that means a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, because they said he was week to week.
I would assume if they thought it was going to be anywhere close to that, the precautionary, responsible move would be to place him on injured reserve. They did not do that.
They did not.
So
a lot of teams do not do that right away because they think it's going to be a week to 2 weeks, 2 weeks to 3 weeks, and they don't want to make them stay out for 4 weeks, right?
Sure.
So to your point, yes, mm-hmm. But also to your point, I've seen plenty of evidence where the 49ers earlier this year,
mm-hmm.
They thought Christian McCaffrey was going to be back after week one. He was practicing all the way through the entire preseason and into week one. Only, I think, the day before the Monday night opener did we find out that Christian McCaffrey wasn't going to play, right? And then they don't put him on IR right away. And then after, I think it was game two, they put him on IR. right? So teams misdiagnose things all the time, or things get worse.
I think with that injury, though, Chris, like if we're going to have a nuanced conversation about injury, you got to treat each injury differently. But San Francisco, like, I think it's a lot more difficult to gain clarity on an Achilles injury than it is on a rib, right? Like, that's just the way that I look at it. I think with an Achilles, it's a strain. It could be a tear. It could be inflammation. With the rib, I think it's break, fracture, inflammation.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Because they haven't told us what it is.
I know you hate that.
I wish they would tell us what it is.
We know.
But they haven't. For whatever reason they have, competitive advantage, medical clarity, I don't know. I will say this. I think we both can agree.
Mm-hmm.
You've said 110%, whatever. I think we both can agree that logically it makes the most sense to give him an extra week here. Is that fair?
When you say an extra week, meaning like don't play him this week. Look, damn what logic says. If he's healthy, play him. If he's 100%, play him. If he's not, don't. That's like how cut and dry it is with me.
What if he's 98%?
No. Do I have to repeat it? If he's not 100%.
Well, you said 110%. Now it's 100%. So I'm just asking.
Anything. If he's not anything north of 100.
Uh-huh. Don't play him. Okay. And
my main reasoning for that, like I continue to say, is that is the type of injury that if you do not let it heal properly,
mm-hmm.
it is going to be something you deal with all season long. I don't want him dealing with that all season long. See, you all keep trying to talk about toughness. If there is discomfort, you saw it right away. His first pass that he threw after the injury, did you notice he did not go through his progressions? He literally caught it and threw it to Austin Ekeler in the flat because he couldn't. It hurt his ass.
Yeah.
He's in pain.
Yeah.
That's why you do not play through discomfort because it impacts your mechanics. You don't do that. It's irresponsible.
You got to build toughness.
I don't care what Kirk did.
Paulie said that. I didn't say that. Dan Quinn did specifically say it was more about the rotation. Rotational and torque, right?
Yes.
And that was the first thing that I noticed being live, and he was throwing right at me, and I'm not a doctor, on Sunday. When he came back out of the blue tent and tried to throw,
he's
trying to thrust, right? Okay, right. And I'm not trying to be ridiculous here.
No, I get you.
You know, as he's trying to thrust and throw, if you will, he's feeling something. Whatever it is at that point, that's before x-rays, that's before any medical Correct. Imaging, what have you, right? So, again, I have no problem thinking, hey, man, it's going to be hard to think that he's 100%+ this week, but maybe there's a chance. But more importantly, let's be smart here and say, you know what? While it's an important game, it's not a division game. It's not a must-win game. It's not a, oh my God, our season's over type game. Or it's not a guarantee that if we win this game that we're going to win the division, win the conference, win a tiebreaker, win anything other than, yeah, you would win a tiebreaker theoretically over Chicago because you'd have the head-to-head advantage. That's really all that we're talking about here. So,
for sure.
Again, there's this weird kind of juxtaposition that we find ourselves in. And you have a proven veteran quarterback. Now, I will just say this, okay? You judge a lot of things based on what you see in May, June, and early August and all that. I don't play that game, but that's up to you. I feel better about Marcus Mariota than I would feel if Jeff Driskel was the quarterback. One. Two, I feel way better about Marcus Mariota now that he played the final 12 minutes of the Cleveland game,
mm-hmm.
and essentially what? The final 50-whatever minutes
still one piece
of the Carolina game.
There's still a massive piece of the puzzle that we don't have because this has just not been the case yet. You know it better than anybody. Him playing at the end of the Cleveland game and what he does there, I'm not going to go as far as to call it meaningless, but it's not real. When teams get the opportunity to game plan for you, then that's when I judge you. So what he did on Sunday was fine. The first two drives stunk. He was god-awful.
Yes.
Anyone who disagrees,
I agree.
You're being biased.
I said it in the press box. I thought they were in a lot of trouble.
He finished much better, but the same problems were still there. See, my thing about whoever plays quarterback here for Washington, Cliff Kingsbury, Brian Johnson, Anthony Lynn, Bobby Johnson have made this the most quarterback-friendly system in football. In my opinion, at least, in terms of what they are asking the guy to do. So,
if it's the most quarterback-friendly system, we should then point out that anybody should be able to operate it, right?
And that's why I'm saying, I don't have a ton of success or a ton of confidence in Marcus Mariota, but the confidence that I do have is based off of the system and what they're going to ask him to do. That's how I look at this.
All right. I just got word that Nick Allegretti is going to be a little bit delayed, pointing out, we're just trying to deal with things on the fly here. So why don't we go back to a couple of calls?
And I think we agree on that, though, correct? Like, do you see what I'm saying? And it's not to discredit Jaden.
I see that it is a quarterback-friendly scheme,
it is.
I believe. But I always believe this, just like when they say Brock Purdy is a product of Kyle Shanahan's scheme. Well, some people are and some people aren't able to operate within that scheme.
For sure.
Trey Lance and
Jimmy?
Nick Mullins weren't able to operate, and Jimmy Garoppolo, varying degrees of success, weren't able to operate in the scheme. Brock Purdy is able to operate in the scheme, okay? So just because you have the scheme and a friendly system and whatever doesn't mean that every quarterback is going to act and operate the same, obviously.
Correct.
Right? But a lot of people believe, of course, different of that. Your point, and I think it's a good point, overall is... Number one, they didn't have to change anything.
No.
Okay. Number two, that right now, as far as I can tell, it probably doesn't matter from a game planning perspective against the Bears if it's Jaden Daniels or if it's Marcus Mariota.
I would say so.
But the one thing that I would say is I think Marcus Mariota, again, based on his level of experience, even though it's not always pretty, gives you a better chance, in my opinion, than if Jeff Driskel was the quarterback. But that's just my opinion. And clearly they think that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you were bothered by that, they think that. And so far, they've been proven to be right. So far. Now we'll find out if we think any differently at 7:30 on Sunday night, right?
For sure. Right. For sure. He's got experience. The system is quarterback friendly. He should have success. In terms of like Chicago game planning, I think it impacts Cliff's play calling. I think they're going to run the hell out of the ball. Like that is what the most important thing in this. More natural runs with the running back, I would think.
I would think so too.
I would think it's more of an emphasis on having positive plays on first and second down because Jaden has superhero-like abilities that can get you out of third and long.
Yes.
Marcus doesn't.
Yeah.
So when you get behind the sticks with Marcus, you're screwed.
But Marcus
you get
has behind the ability, sticks with Jaden. Marcus has the ability to still get you out of some sticky wickets, if you will. He's not like immobile like the Chrysler building, for God's sake.
I don't even think it's about mobility. It's about being able to fit the ball in the tight windows. It's about throwing with anticipation and timing. Something Marcus has shown ability to do over his career.
And that's why he's a fringe starter / backup.
Exactly.
All right. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Take a timeout. We will keep tabs on Nick Allegretti. If not, we will come right back, grab your phone calls. Hang tight. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. It is a Windbag Wednesday on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us. All right, hopefully we'll still have Nick Allegretti trying to work out some timing issues. Apologize for that, but we still plan on, from what I'm being told, having Nick Allegretti. Might be in the 3 o'clock hour, so just stay tight for stay tight. I keep saying stay tight. Stay tuned, for God's sakes, for that. I don't know why I keep saying stay tight for that. Stay tuned for
you think
that
Jaden's
hang
ribs
tight.
Are tight.
Well, you know, maybe they are. But we don't know that because we never got exact clarification.
You hate that.
That being said, again, they will take on a Chicago Bears team that is coming off of a bye, is 4-2. Somehow that gets you last place in the NFC North because that's how good that division is.
The world's greatest division right now.
Right? Montez Sweat, everybody's making a big deal out of that because it's his return to Northwest Stadium, the former FedEx Field. I think that defense is much more than Montez Sweat, and I think the second you start thinking it's just Montez Sweat is where you get yourself in trouble. Jalen Johnson on the back end is really, really, really good. Their linebackers, help me out, the guy that came over from Buffalo,
White.
Tremaine Edmonds.
Yeah, Kaiser White over there, too.
Group. they've got a really, really good defense. I think, see, this is where I worry about if Jalen's got to miss any kind of significant period of time. This game, okay, I can boil it down in my head to just one game, take a shot, nothing you could really do. If he's got to miss, and again, we don't know, if he's got to miss this game, the Giants game, and what if he's got to miss the Steelers game? We don't know.
So,
because they're saying it's week to week, not day to day, and we don't know the exact nature of the injury. I don't believe that's going to be the case, but I guess my point is even with Jaden, they were going to be hard-pressed to win this game, in my opinion, right? They were going to need Caleb Williams to be probably risky with the football, something that Jaden normally isn't. Jaden's been a little risky at times, but Caleb is risky. I think this is going to be a very difficult game to win just inherently on its own if we treat it as, hey, man, Marcus Mariota is almost surely going to be the starting quarterback. Why is that? It's not because I don't trust Washington and the system and the scheme and the game plan and others. It's because I have a healthy, healthy respect for the Chicago Bears and what they are in all three phases of the football.
I agree. I was going to say the same thing. Like, I've picked Washington each week. Probably would have picked him this week against Chicago, but it would have been probably a game outside of Baltimore, right, where you have the least amount of confidence. For all the reasons you listed, they're a good group on defense. Offensively, though, like, they got good pieces. They're starting to figure themselves out. But they still have a play caller that gets in his own way a lot. They have a young quarterback, so I don't look at their offensive explosion the past 2 weeks either and go, or the past 3 weeks, and go, well, they're back. They played three terrible defenses.
Well,
Jacksonville, Carolina. I wouldn't call the Rams a terrible defense.
I would not at all.
They've bounced back the past 2 weeks against two god-awful defenses.
All right, but I would also point out, just to be fair, they played two terrific defenses to start off the year. Tennessee at home.
What about Indianapolis?
Houston scored
16.
No, I get what you're saying. Now, there's all sorts of reasons, right? Keenan Allen missed a couple of games, did he not? You know, and Caleb's a rookie. And here's the bottom line. If Caleb is sloppy with the football and tries to be Superman, tries to play hero, and if the Commanders' pass rush and if the Commanders' run defense can be as spry as it was or anything close against Andy Dalton and Carolina, and again, there's a big difference. We understand that. But Carolina was not a bad offense coming into that game. Then that can level out the playing field to where you might not need a superhuman performance from the offense, meaning Washington's offense, to win this game. You might be able to scratch out a 17-14, a 20-17 type of game. It's all it takes. One more point. That's it. Doesn't have to be pretty. Especially for this week, I don't care if it's pretty. Win any by any means necessary.
I agree.
Win any way you possibly can. Special teams could be a huge factor. It's already been a huge factor.
I think maybe we're paying attention to the wrong thing with Chicago in terms of what's been, I guess, the catalyst to their offensive turnaround. They've got DeAndre Swift in the running game going. I think that's the number one difference between their offense and the losses in the W's. You look at the last 3 weeks, they're over 150 yards rushing per contest.
Yep.
Like, they're running the ball really well. So I think that's the difference, and it makes life easier for the play caller. But, like, I'm more so concerned about what Chicago is on defense versus our offense. Like, that's because I'm still waiting to see, from a mentality standpoint with Cliff, like, when the going gets tough and it is 2 yards in a cloud of dust, do you have the maturity and the patience to stick with it? Because against Baltimore, my number one criticism was that they did not stick with the run enough. And I think that had a significant impact.
I would agree, but I think that was by design and by plan, and the fact that they didn't have Brian Robinson.
That's the thing. I don't mentality as a play caller to me. You got to have the ultimate belief in what you do. Yes, Baltimore is the number one rushing defense. I understand that completely. That doesn't mean you can't run the football against them.
All right,
that's my thing.
We got to take a timeout for the top of the hour here. By the way, I just got informed that now Nick Allegretti has meetings that he has to attend. So we won't be able to have him today, but I'm being told he will join us tomorrow. So these are fluid situations. We're trying to get you, inside the locker room. And unfortunately, it just didn't work out at the time that we were told that it would. So just nothing, nothing we can do there. But we're being told it will happen tomorrow. So that means there's time for your phone calls, which I know a lot of you have been on hold. So we will get to you. John and Falls Church will be first up at the top of the hour on the other side of 3 o'clock on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.